Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all. I am Apostle Christopher McQueen of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and this is the Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I'm so happy that you have joined us on today. I know that definitely there is a word from the Lord for you. We want to let you know that this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice. That is a choice that we make. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And I know that as we have gone through the day and have dealt with people and things and situations, there's a need for us to just stop and tell the Lord, thank you for allowing us to make it through yet another day. There's some people who didn't make it. We have to be mindful that when God allows us to make it to another day, it is His grace, His mercy, it is His favor upon us that He is showing us. Now, don't let this day pass and let it find you not doing what God has called you to do. Make sure you take time. Make sure you take some energy, amen, and do what God called you to do, amen, amen. Prophetess Crystal is en route. She is was at a funeral or a wake, if you will, and she called and said, "Listen, go ahead and start without me. I'll be in." And I told her, I said, "Well, hurry up because you know we miss you already." Amen. Amen. So with that being said, let me go ahead and give you our announcements, get into the prayer, and then we'll catch up with Prophetess at the very end of the broadcast or during the broadcast as she makes her way to the studio. Please join us every Tuesday and every Saturday. Tuesday at 7 p.m., Saturday at 10:30 a.m., for the Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast with none other than yours truly, Apostle Christopher McQueen, co-hosted by Prophetess Crystal McQueen. And every Thursday, join us for Prophetic Atmosphere with none other than Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We know that definitely God has a work, amen, for us, and He has a word for you. And we would like for you to join with us at those times so that we can hear what God has for us and what God is saying to us. If you will, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you learn more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with us Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I will tell you this, work could be done, amen, as far as some of the things that we do in the field for missions and for those who are part of Christ the King with more resources, amen. And that's why we ask you to become a vision partner with us, because the needs are great. And I don't know if you, any of you who have been involved with any type of overseas work or any type of overseas mission work, you know that the need is great. Now, most of the times what we can give and what we can do is by our eyes, small. But when you add that to what is being done across the board, your little bit helps us to do a lot. I do believe when I was coming up as a child, I used to see the commercials, and even now I see them, and they talk about how a little does a lot. Your small contribution can do so much. And I'm here to tell you that over in Kenya, at our schools and orphanage, over in Uganda at the school and the orphanage, a little goes a long way. So we ask for you to help us to be a blessing to those who can't do better for themselves. Amen. When you give to the poor, you're loaning to God, and God will repay it. Amen. According to his word. So we would like for you to become a vision partner with us. Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. There'll be a tab there, and it'll say become a vision partner. Just click on that and fill it out, and we'll follow up and show you the work that we're doing so that you will know exactly where your resources are going. Recently, we sent money over to Nigeria for Evangelist Ademiyi, and he has his secondary school over there, which for us would be like a Bible college, and they need resources and help there. So we ask for you to help us so that we can do greater work with them. Amen. Thank God, Prophetess Crystal has come in. God bless you, Prophetess.
God bless you.
We're going to digress and turn it over to her so she can lead us in our prayer. And then we're going to get into this word, Prophetess.
Amen. Come on, everybody. Let's look to the Lord this evening for prayer. I want you to be focused as we begin to go before him this evening. Amen. And I want us to really have a heart lifted up towards him. Amen. And not just to be praying and speaking words, but let's speak with authority. Let's speak with power. Let's speak with purpose. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the blessed name of Jesus, God, we thank you. We praise you. We glorify you. We lift your name up in this place. God, we thank you for the new day. We thank you for the new day that you have given us, that you have already spoken over our lives. Father, even now, as the man of God comes to minister this word, let this word find us. Let it find every hidden place, every uncovered space. Let it find us tonight. Father, I'm asking in Jesus' name, by the power of the Holy Spirit, let this word prick our hearts and our minds. God, let it put an urgency on the inside of us that we must complete the assignment, that we must believe you, that we must believe in your word, that we must begin to birth forth the kingdom and all of its purposes in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, as we come, we bow before you and we immediately ask for repentance. We ask that you will forgive us for every sin of unrighteousness. God, cleanse us from the inside out. Cleanse our hearts, our minds, our spirits, our souls in Jesus' name. God, wash us in your word and the blood of Jesus tonight. Father, right now as we come, we uplift all those who are sick. We uplift all those who are shut in. God, we ask that you would begin to touch now. Heal everybody. God, heal cancer on tonight, God. We ask that you would begin to minister to those who are depressed, God. We ask that you would just cover them in your blood and surround them with the loving arms of Jesus Christ, God. Even those that are now dealing with lost loved ones, Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you would just become a fence built around them. Father, in the midst of the grief, meet them at that point of their need. And Father, I'm asking that even in that low place, God, that you would begin to minister to them, send someone to teach them and tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ, God, to uplift them, that their hands will be uplifted, that they will call upon you, God, because you are the only one that can fulfill them, Father, in the name of the Almighty Jesus. Now, God, as this word comes, we will obey. We will stand. We will agree. And we will do what you say to do. God, help us not to let this word fall on deaf ears. Let it not fall on dry ground, but let it become deposited in our spirits on tonight. God, we thank you. We praise you. We glorify you. In Jesus' name, we definitely pray. Amen.
And amen. And amen. Thank you for the awesome prayer. Tonight, I want to begin to bridge and transition what we've been dealing with. Prophetess, you went back into a message that the Lord has spoken to you at the beginning of the year. Could you just share a little bit of that with us?
Yes, amen. The Lord asked me, or was ministering, in ministering my time with him, the Lord said, I need you to go back and remind my people of the word that you had, that I spoke through you on the beginning of January, which was Isaiah 43 and the 18th verse that talks about, do not remember the former things. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke and said, you need to remind my people that it is still a new day. Too often we hear that word, we hear the messages, and we jump, we shout, we say amen, but then we go back into normalcy. We go back into routine. And then we begin to see things that we thought had changed have not changed. Well, in reality, the moment, as I said on last week, for those of you who are with me, the moment that God spoke that word out of his mouth, amen, and it got to your ears and to your spirit, it was already manifested. It was already being in motion. Amen. It was already being performed because he says, wherever I send my word, it, you know, when it proceeds out of my mouth, it shall perform that which I sent it and will not return unto me void. And if God has spoken any type of word to you concerning the new day, forgetting about the former things in the past, and as Apostle goes deeper into what God has spoken to him concerning this word, you have to begin to understand and fully walk in a revelation knowledge that the word of God has power and the word of God has life. And wherever it is, where death is, wherever there's it's stale, wherever it's dry, the minute that the word of God comes, life happens. A spark happens immediately, suddenly. And he just wanted to remind us again that it's still a new day. That the minute that the clock turned 12 o'clock, even though it's midnight, it may be midnight in your life. And my husband, I'm actually repeating what he has spoken because this really came from him. But he said, even at 11:59, the moment it turns 12 o'clock, it may be midnight to you sight-wise, but it is still a new day. And I added on to what he said, midnight looks the same as 4 o'clock a.m. But the bottom line is, it's still morning. Amen? Amen.
Amen. Amen. I also just turn the broadcast over to you because that was good. That was good. The thing that I want to really begin to build off of here today is that new day mentality. When we go through our day, we go from glory to glory. We go from day to day. And in your life, you will have many midnight. Amen. Just look at your normal everyday existence. You go from midnight, 24 hours, midnight, 24 hours, midnight. And it's in those times that if you aren't spiritually minded, that you'll begin to question when it becomes dark again. Notice the word again.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, work while it is day.
Yes.
For no man can work when it's night.
Mm-hmm.
And we found ourselves at times really making excuses for bad behavior. And those of you who know me know that I've spoken about that before. We have people who have things that they do on a regular and don't feel no way this way or no way that way about it because it's just something that they do. The Bible didn't call us into mediocrity. It called us into great works. These works that I do, you shall do, and greater works. So how do you get to greater works? Well, first of all, you have to understand what greater works is not. Amen?
Mm.
And greater works is not mediocre actions or a mediocrity. Mm. And there's something interesting as I was looking this up. Amen? When we talk about do not remember the former things.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? And we begin to talk about that. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? The thing is if you don't understand how God brought you out the first time, you won't understand how God is bringing you out the second time. And if you understand how God brought you out the first time, then you clearly recognize when God brought you out the second time. So when you go into it the third time, it shouldn't shake your foundation of faith that God can bring you out a third time. Amen? Because we go from glory to glory to glory. Amen? We are built up line upon line, precept upon precept. The story of your life is being written. Amen? And your activity is being documented concerning the work that God gave you to do. So instead of being one who is unaware, you have to become aware. Now, how do we know that you are aware? I'm glad you asked. We know that you are aware when your speech is concerning your destiny and not your past.
I like it. Yes, sir.
Amen? Mm-hmm. See, when you can talk to me and our conversation is about where you're going,
yes,
and not about where you've been, then we know that you have transitioned in your mind. There has been a paradigm shift in you so that you're not looking at your yesterday to validate your today. You're talking about your today based on where you're going and not where you've been. So I'm not talking about the failures of my past. I'm talking about God has given me the ability to do greater works, and I'm going to do greater work. You see, that greater that I'm talking about today projects my faith towards work that will be done tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So my past just showed me where I didn't do. Huh? But today I have an opportunity to get it right and do it better for a better tomorrow. Amen?
Mm.
So now let's look at this. Let's look at this. Because when we begin to talk about do not remember the former things nor consider the things of old, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Yes. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Amen? Go back to last week. Get the broadcast there.
Mm-hmm.
Because I need to move forward in this and I don't want to rehash all of that and use up all of our time. But notice here, a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And when you go down, the beasts of the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I give water in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen.
Yes.
And I shared with you this one thing, that whatever God is doing for you today is so that you can be a blessing to others. Don't worry about what isn't there. Don't worry about how dry it is. Don't worry about what resources you don't see. Amen. God has already provided for that in your assignment, but you have to go forward and do it. Now, let me tell you what happens. People become disgruntled and dissatisfied because they're looking at what should be there.
All right, all right.
They're banking on what they can project based on their resources. And they have not taken into consideration that whatever God says shall be. Amen?
Amen.
And when God spoke it out of his mouth, thank you, dear, when you said that whatever God says is already in action to perform itself. Because God cannot speak a word that is dormant. Every word that God speaks has potential and action. It has kinetic energy in it. Even though you don't see how fast it's going, trust me, it is moving to complete itself. Because when God spoke it, it began to create whatever God was speaking. So your destiny, even though you can't see it, is still being created because God spoke it. You see that? Every step you make then is part of the creation process. It is when you put your foot forth to step upon what you don't see, you'll find that there's substance that sustains you. You don't fall because the word sustains you. That's why the Bible said, wheresoever the sole of your feet treadeth, I have given to you. Because the assignment is, you go forward and conquer. And
yeah,
no matter what you're looking at, this ain't my land. But when you begin to walk upon it, you begin to take ownership of it in the spirit. And the will of God in heaven begins to be done on earth through your obedience to following the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Now, so when we see it, now shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness, a river in the desert. The beast of the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I give water in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Amen. To give drink to my people, my chosen. Look at this. This people I have formed for myself. Don't worry about who likes you. God has already chosen you. Amen. This people I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praise. Amen. So if we shall declare his praise, why are you silent? Where is your testimony? It's interesting when we look at Jesus here in John the 4th chapter, 34th verse.
Yes.
It says, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. You've heard us say this before. But now let's keep on reading here. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. In other words, you're talking about what you don't see. You're talking about what isn't there instead of extending your faith and your speech towards the finished product. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Because notice the words that Jesus says. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes. In other words, you've been looking around trying to find the resources. And Jesus says, listen, if you just simply lift up your eyes, you'll see what I've already prepared for you. That's why certain people who don't have prophetic vision or a spiritual vision can't lead.
I like that, sir.
You see that? They can't lead because they can't see what's in front of them because they don't have sight down the road. They're looking at what's here. Well, we only got $10. Well, listen, if God told you to do it, do it. And God will send favor and resource so that you can accomplish what he sent you to do. Now, I'm not telling you to go out there because you thought it'd be great to go out and do something. No, I'm talking about the assignment that God gives you. Amen. He will cause you to be successful in it. Amen. All you have to do is lift up your eyes. Amen. Now, how do I lift up my eyes? Okay, well, now we're into the second part of this, amen? But because the first thing I said, if we know when you have gotten to that, forget the former things because your speech changed,
amen?
The second thing, we know when you get to this, to the forgetting the former things because your insight changes, Amen?
Amen.
You can see what's not there, and you encourage others who lack faith or insight as well.
All right. All right.
You see that?
All right.
Notice this. When we go back to that scripture, it says, make a road in the wilderness, and I will cause rivers to be in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say a pond. He didn't say a puddle.
Yeah, I like that.
He said a river, and the river flows. Amen?
All right.
So you got to understand when God begins to talk to you, then God begins to speak to you. Amen?
Amen.
Huh? A river will sustain you because a river brings the life-giving water. Amen. Now, even though you're in the wilderness, it still keeps you hydrated so that you have strength to walk out of the wilderness.
Yes,
amen?
Yes, yes.
See, we need to understand that if God is giving us sight and we need to change our speech, amen,
all right,
then we need to learn what God is saying to us. Amen?
Amen.
Now, look at this.
Mm-hmm.
Lift up your eyes,
yes,
and look at the field. Don't just look at, don't lift up your eyes and see all that. And well, what am I going to do with this? Well, that's where spiritual wisdom comes from. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
That's why you can read the scripture, but you don't get a revelation in the word because you're just reading the words. But if the Bible says it very clearly, it says, how can they preach unless they be sent? Let's go over here
to
that. Amen. Let's go over there. Let's go over there because I need you all to see this because we've been quoting scriptures and running back and forth you know, there are some people who just don't understand that everybody is not a preacher, but everybody who is part of the kingdom need to have a message.
Amen.
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 Romans 10:14 says, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? Now, understand, we're dealing with some people now who don't have connection, who are trying to lead people and don't know which way to go. And instead of asking for and seeking help, they're constantly out trying to prove to people that they know which way to go. Nothing is sillier, amen, than someone lost going off of what they feel is the right direction. Amen?
True.
Huh? How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? We know you don't believe because you don't have any faith in the Spirit. The Spirit of God who speaks to you and gives you direction and releases revelatory word in you. You don't have that. So you have to find somebody who has that. And then you try to live vicariously off of their word because you can't get a word yourself. Amen? If you don't have the ability to walk it out because you don't have the ability to study it out,
mm-hmm. Hmm?
Study to show yourself approved, a workman, not ashamed. If you don't have the ability to do that, then you need to take off the title and sit down and become matured
mm-hmm.
in the things of God. Because you can't keep running out and messing over God's people. You're playing a deadly game that's going to have consequences to it. Amen?
Amen.
Huh? So, what does it say here? How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? You're preaching a gospel you don't even believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Time out for these churches, or I can't even call them churches, these gathering places, amen, where you have people there who are motivational speakers
wow.
and life coaches. come together and begin to share different social algorithms that they apply to different parts of their life that have been successful. And I've become a great businessman because I took these three principles and applied it. And you too can do this. And I believe that this is what we need to do at this point. Notice they don't even say, this is what God has given me.
No, they say, this is what
we need to do, and it will help us to be successful. How many of you want to live a successful life today? You know, it's a wonderful thing that we have the ability to live these lives now, and all of your best days are ahead of you. Did I hear any Jesus in that?
No,
because there was nothing about your need for a Savior. There was nothing there that talks about redemption. There was nothing that talked about the process. See, we've been running after these, and we fill these places up. The 10,000 people, 20,000 members and the like. And we talk about how successful they are. And everybody wants to get over it because they're doing it big, Doc.
Yeah.
Well, they're doing it big because they're not preaching an integral word. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How can you build the kingdom of God and not preach Jesus? It is impossible to do so. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Get the motivational speaker out the pulpit. Get the life coach out of the pulpit. If you want to have part of your ministry where you deal with motivation and life coaching, then do it as, an office within your church administration where people can go for counseling and things. And let me caution you why I'm talking about that. Stop counseling things that you need to flat out cast out. The Bible tells us that he gave us authority over unclean spirits to cast them out. I'm not counseling not another demon. I'm casting them out because that's my responsibility. Yes. How am I going to sit up here and talk about the Lord has given me the ability to counsel his people because people are hurting. People are bound. And people are bound. And if you don't sit there and use your God-given authority, the authority that was delegated to you, using the name of Jesus
to
deliver and set free, then people will be bound and still hurting. Mm-hmm. How do you get rid of the hurt? You release the binds. I remember when I was going through my training at the police academy, we had to practice putting handcuffs on each other. And I noticed when we put the handcuffs on, the handcuffs are designed in such a way where the metal grinds against your wrist bone. So it's uncomfortable.
Okay.
There's literally very few ways you can put the handcuffs on effectively and it not be painful. So when we go back to dealing with people who are hurting, if you want to relinquish the pain, you need to loose the bonds. Amen?
Amen.
You see that? So, and how shall they hear without a preacher? And I said before, you got too many people out here running around with a title on their name, but they can't put together two scriptures to save their life. Mm-hmm. How can they lead you to the saving of your soul if they can't save them on, their own self?
Amen?
Amen? Huh? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? So now we have people who have went, but we don't have people who are sent. And they're making shambles of ministries, tearing up households of faith. People are walking away disgruntled, hurt, disillusioned with Christianity because the wrong person is standing in front of them trying to proclaim a gospel in whom they don't believe. Amen? So we got to get down to this whole thing of bringing ourselves full circle. Amen. God called us to do a work. And if we're doing the work, then you're satisfied with the work. Going back to what I said in John the 4th chapter, amen, 35th verse, do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? There are people who are pushing off to tomorrow what they should be doing today concerning their kingdom assignment. You see that? 4 months. We got 4 months. No. Jesus said, behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the field. You don't want to look over there because the work is in the field. And you're busy sitting on a porch drinking lemonade in the shade. See, you need to get off the porch, get in the field, and begin to bring the harvest in. For they are already white for harvest. Lord, I'm just waiting on my reward. Woo, I'm serving. I'm going to get it. You know, and I'm waiting because what I sold in grape seed. Mm-hmm. It's going to come up. And Jesus said, listen, get off the porch, mm-hmm. put the lemonade down. You know, gird up your loins, get your harvesting equipment out with you, and get in the field. Amen. Now, why is that important?
Right.
Because we started off with this, with behold, I will do a new thing. Shall you not know it? Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? Amen.
Yes.
And now here we are. We're dealing with this harvest. What is the harvest? The harvest is since you have planted and since you have sown, now it's time for you to go out into the same field that you sowed in and bring in the harvest that was produced by the seed that you put in it. Notice it doesn't tell you to go out to somebody else's field. You see that? Because people are trying their best to find something that they think is going to be great. Well, what is great is what you sow. If you don't have faith in your seed, why did you sow it?
Well, you know.
I want that to really sink in, you know, because we're running around and we got the lingo down. Ooh, I'm sowing a seed. Are you really? Or are you just giving your resource away?
Mm-hmm.
See, when you sow a seed, you have faith that the seed will produce a harvest. Or you're just giving your resource away.
Yeah.
You see that?
I do.
So when Jesus begins to talk about the harvest, he's talking about seed that was sown that has gone through the process of maturation. It has matured. It has developed.
Yeah.
Now it's ready for it to come forth, because if you leave it in the field, it'll die in the field. I remember back where I was born and grew up, that on the corner of Hill and Burn, there was a field
mm-hmm.
where they would plant cabbage and lettuce and stuff like that.
Sure was.
And every once in a while, they let it rot in the field.
Yeah.
And everything in Ohio, in Toledo, Ohio, knew that over at that corner of Hill and Burn, there was nothing good in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And some of you are wondering why things are tore up around you. It's because the harvest that should be brought in out the field is sitting over there rotting. Lord Jesus. Ooh, this is good. Huh? You see this? So we have to go and get the harvest before it spoils, because you sowed the seed and the seed went into the ground. It died and then it began to come forth into the harvest. And you're asking God for help and you're asking God for resource. You're asking God to make a way, and God's trying to get you to open up or lift up your eyes. You see that? Mm-hmm. Lift up your eyes and look at the field. Get off the porch.
Yes, sir.
Get in the field, bring in the harvest. Now, let's read this. 36 verse. And he who reaps receives wages.
All right.
Where's your lack at? You ain't reaping nothing. You can't get paid for nothing. Where's my resource? It's in the field. But you ain't in the field to reap. So you can't receive wage. You see that? And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life. Huh? That both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. Amen?
Amen.
For in this saying is true, one sows and another reap.
Yes.
Look at this, 38th verse. I have sent you to reap that for which you have not labored.
I love it. He already did the work.
It's already done. Going back to what I said at the very beginning, when we begin to speak this Isaiah 43, amen, 18, 19, amen. It says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? When we begin to deal with this here, I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Amen. You see that? Then what God is saying is, listen, I've already prepared those who are on the other side of the wilderness, but they're stuck there, just like your harvest is stuck in the field. And they're ready to come out, just like the harvest is white.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all better catch what he's showing me, huh? But you have to now stop talking about yesteryear and begin to talk about your tomorrow, okay? Look at this. Proverbs 18, 20 and 21. It says, from the fruit of his mouth a man's stomach is filled. Your lack is from inactivity. Amen? With the harvest from his lips, he is satisfied. What are you speaking concerning your tomorrow? Is your speech still stuck in yesteryear? Remember not the former things. Are you walking around talking about what was? So much that you can't focus on what is. Because what is, has God already brought you through it and out of it. And when you recognize that God brought you through it and out of it, then you can turn around and talk about what you're going to do tomorrow to give God greater glory, which is fulfill the assignment he's giving you. Amen? It says, the tongue has the power, of life and death. And those who love it will eat its fruit.
That's what it said.
So then... we have to understand that what we're speaking has the ability to plant new seed. You can't use a path in the wilderness when you're sitting around looking at all the wildflowers there.
Just, all right.
Something in you got to get tired of looking at wildflowers and looking at all kind of dryness or whatever is there or aridness. And say, you know what? If we sit here, we're going to die. And I'm trying to tell you right now, if you continue to sit there, you will die. But now it's time for you to get up, speak up, and move. Now, we dealt with speak to begin with. And right. Then we dealt with sight.
Right.
But now we need to deal with movement. If you're looking at this and your speech is mediocre and your spiritual insight is mediocre, then what you're going to receive will be mediocre.
You can't get upset about it.
You can't get mad. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Can't get mad about it.
Let me give you a couple of definitions. Amen. Mediocre simply says of only moderate quality. Not very good.
Mm-mm.
You see that? But the word that I saw when I was looking for this, it was mediocrity.
All right.
That's what he was saying. So to understand mediocrity, we have to understand the root word, mediocre.
Okay.
Amen? Medium quality is this. You not hot. You ain't cold. You just somewhere in the middle. You see that?
Yeah.
And there's people right now who have mediocrity as their primary comfort zone. God tells you to heat up and you try to give God excuse why you can't. You get mad at everybody and you won't cool off. You just sit there and take it. See, you gotta activate one way or the other. Amen? Huh? Now, let me give you mediocrity, because this has helped you to understand why this is dangerous. Mediocrity is a dominant class consisting of mediocre people.
Ooh.
Huh? Or a system in which mediocrity is rewarded. Is that it?
That's what it says.
So some people have this mindset that you are doing all that you have to do in order to get a blessing from God. And he never called us to mediocrity.
He really didn't.
So the reason why you can't get a blessing is because this is not a system in which mediocrity is rewarded. Amen?
Amen.
Everything that God called you to is above your pay grade. Everything that God has called you to is above your natural abilities. What am I saying? It's that you won't get what you're looking for at this level. You need to move up to the next level. You need to go through your breakthrough. You need to go through your aggrandizement in your spiritual development. In other words, you need to elevate yourself or make yourself bigger, because as you do so, you can glorify God greater. He didn't call you to be mediocre. He didn't call you to mediocrity. Amen?
All right.
Notice that word dominant was there. Huh? That means the most important, powerful, or influential. That's what dominant means. Huh? Mm-hmm. It is something that he didn't ask you to do. So it is the most influential class. Notice whenever we start to move forward, and we're looking at what God wants us to do, there's always a group of people sitting back trying to talk you out of it. Huh? They're trying to get you to a place where you can just believe, amen, that God ain't said all that. They doing too much. They moving too fast. They just need to wait on Jesus. Stop. You're sitting there mediocre. You're trying to be part of a mediocrity. And after all is said and done, you still nervous and worried about what God is doing because you don't have faith to be greater than mediocre. Oh God, help us today. Isaiah 43:19, behold, I do a new thing. Now shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? You won't know it if you haven't changed your speech. Okay? From the fruit of a man's mouth, Proverbs 18:20-21, from the fruit of his mouth, a man's stomach is filled with the harvest. From his lips, he is satisfied. Your speech didn't change. Your destiny ain't changing. The outcome is not changing. You still speaking yesteryear? Do not remember the former things, nor consider things of old. You still speaking that? Guess what? You're going to have what you had yesterday. And if it wasn't good enough for yesterday, guess what? Stop sowing the seeds of that harvest. Start speaking your harvest for tomorrow. Amen? The tongue has the power of life and death. And while I'm speaking about the tongue has the power of life and death, let me just begin to deal with this in movement. If you are trying to bring back to life those things that God has killed or the spirit has put to death, then you're not doing the work that God gave you to do. There are certain things in your life that God has called an end to. And no matter what you try to do, you try to bring it back, You'll get a Frankenstein effect. A Frankenstein effect means that you put it together and try to breathe life into it. Amen. Trying to cause movement in something that was dead. You see that? So when it comes forth, it doesn't come forth with grace. It comes forth as an abomination and a monster. And you try to put God's name on it. Look what the Lord has done. And those who have spiritual insight see that this is not him. Why aren't they getting with me? Because God told me to. He didn't tell you to do this. This is you doing this. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have the effect you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? So if he said death to it, let it stay dead. But now yoke the knee is in that dead spot. And you need to be speaking life into it. Change your speech from trying to resuscitate your dead past to speaking it, to speaking life into your destiny. Do you see that?
I do.
Now, let's deal with this fruit part here. Fruit is interesting because fruit actually has a seed within itself to reproduce
another piece of fruit.
More fruit. That is one of the traits of fruit, is that they have seeds in them. So when he's telling you that the fruit of your mouth, whatever you spoke, has within itself the ability to recreate itself in greater measure. Huh? So if you're speaking and the fruit of your lips is coming forth, it doesn't do the damage of what you just said. It multiplies itself in harvest. You see that? That's why it says, from the fruit of a man's mouth, from the fruit of his mouth, a man's stomach is filled. Whatever you say, you're going to eat those words. You don't like the words you're eating? Stop speaking them. Speak what God said and not what your emotions push you to, what the enemy tried to show you. What you see, our sight and our speech has to change. We've got to stop looking at yesteryear. I was a failure and I tried my best, and every time I think, and people never let me get, and I was just, stop, hold it, change your speech. Regardless of what my yesterday was, I know that God is able. He brought me through yesterday. He's going to bring me through today. And I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So yesterday I did not have an understanding of that. But today I understand that my strength lies not in myself, but in my trust in Jesus. And I will trust you. I will go forward. Listen, your voice begins to change as you begin to understand that what you're saying has the ability to empower your destiny. You can't move forward unless you got a charged up battery, and those words that you're speaking, talking about the goodness of Jesus and his ability, is the charge that you need to move forward. So some of you need to really charge up your battery to move out and stop standing still, sitting there listening to what everybody said about you. They ain't never believed in me. It's not their responsibility to believe in you. Do you believe in yourself? What is it that you say about you? Do you tear yourself down before you try to build yourself? Well, you know why? Doom, despair, agony on me. Listen, get the hee-haw out of it and begin to decree, declare what God said about you.
Yeah.
You can't build yourself up if you're still trying to make excuse for why you tore yourself down. Stop tearing yourself down and just build yourself up. Huh? Sometimes you're just going to have to cry and let the Spirit know, speak in tongues. The Holy Spirit knows how to interpret that tear into heavenly language and dialect so that God gets the glory out of what you're doing. And you'll find out that whenever, and I shared this with somebody earlier, okay. They said, how long do we deal with stuff like this? I said, the Bible talks about the time of the Amorites not being fulfilled. God was talking to Abraham, making covenant with them. There is a time for this stuff to go on, but then there is a fulfilling of time.
Mm-hmm.
Evil don't last forever.
That's it. It'll go on, but it'll go on forever.
Trouble won't last forever. Trouble won't be there forever. Amen. There is an end to trouble.
Yep.
Huh? So when you begin to cry out before the Lord, then you'll find out that every time that the children of Israel cried out before God, he heard them. Whenever he spoke to one of the judges, he said, for the cry of my people have come up before me.
That's what he said.
So you can't say nothing good about what's going on? Simply cry. Cry out to him. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. You ain't said nothing, but that cry right there was interpreted. Jesus, I got this going on. Lord, this is happening. Yeah, this is going on. You ain't have to tell him all of that. You just have to cry out before the Lord. And as you cry out before the Lord, the Spirit interprets that into the words that need to be spoken. And at that point, God begins to send relief, restoration, revival. He begins to do what needs to be done in your life.
I thank him for it.
See, we've been talking all this stuff and saying everything, and they need to hear. I had to give them, you know what, I put them in their place. No, what you did was you anchored yourself to something that was in the past. Do not remember the former things. They messed up, let them mess up. You keep walking forward. They doing stupid, let them do stupid. You keep moving forward. They acting stupid and dumb, let them do stupid and dumb. You keep going forward. You don't sit back and address. You know the craziest thing, and you heard me say this, and others have heard me say this. The worst argument that you will ever have is with somebody who is arguing with themselves. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to fuss with you. I'm not going to go through all that crazy with you. Amen. I'm going to let you sit there and go through it. And after you get there, I'm going to be like, are you done? He don't even care to argue with me. No, no. I'm wise enough not to argue with you. That argument didn't change nothing. Huh? But if I can get you to understand that your victory is in your praise, it's in your declaration, it's in your proclamation, then you're decreeing, amen? That's where your victory and your fruit is. When you decree, you set up, you bring in seeds, and they begin to produce harvest. And you take those seeds, and you begin to decree and declare and praise and worship again, and it begins to produce another harvest, fruit, amen? You see that? So then you are satisfied with the things of God in your life, amen? We end with this, Proverbs 18, 20 and 21, amen. And I want to see this. I do believe that there's another, translation. Thank you. Oh, that was hard to get out. Okay, this is one of them, amen. It simply says in the Message Bible, read that for me, prophetess.
All right, words, Proverbs 18:20. Words satisfy the mind as much as fruit does the stomach. Good talk is as gratifying as a good harvest. Words kill. Words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose.
You see that? Words kill and words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You tired of things being poison around you? Start planting some fruit. Speak life. Amen. Go to, if you can, that same, there we go.
In what version?
Amplified.
Gotcha. Says here, a man's moral self shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth, and with the consequence of his words, he must be satisfied, whether good or evil. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it, for death or life. Matthew 12:37.
Amen. So that's where we are. Brothers and sisters, speak life. God has great for you and greater. Come on, let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this word. We thank you for this time. Pray, Lord, that you will help us to see the wisdom in your message to us. Help us to move forward, not dealing with former things, but moving on, speaking life to those things. Help us to have the insight and the spiritual sight. Open up our spiritual eyes that we can see those things that you're showing us, the harvest that's before us, that is fighting. And then help us to get off the porch. We've been sitting too long, making too many excuses for bad behavior. We pray right now that you forgive us asking you, Lord, to forgive us for inactivity, and we will go forward and do what you called us to do. Now, Lord, I pray for anyone who is not saved that they will simply pray this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation in the name of Jesus. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, I pray that you lead them to a Bible-believing, a Bible-teaching church, that they may be edified, that they may be developed, that they may be mature and equipped for the work of the ministry that you've given them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We speak right now resources, healing signs of wonders. We speak financial breakthroughs in the name of Jesus. It shall be according to the word of God. In Jesus' name we pray that, amen and amen. Yeah. Listen, once again, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. It's under, it's being revamped now, but it's still operational, amen. We want you to go there and be become a vision partner with us. Help us with your financial gift to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, reminding you that it's God's will for you to live this kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord, and we love you all.